Gracious God, take our minds and think through them. Take our hands and work through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. For those of you who lost count, that was 14 abides and 27 loves in the last two lessons. I'm not actually preaching on that, but I just thought it was an interesting little thing. Today, a team of people will come together in our kitchen and our parish hall to cook, set up, and clean up a meal for all those in our community who are hungry and who show up at our door. We do this the second Sunday of every month. I don't know which team is on for today, but I do know this. It doesn't really matter, because each of the teams will follow the same recipes. They will have the same procedure for setting up and cleaning up, and they will offer the same loving hospitality. Open Door Dinner is about service. It is about love. It is about community. And it's about the interrelationship of all three. That interrelationship of love, service, and community is also what our epistle from 1 John and our gospel are about. Both stand in contrast to our Western models of individuality and personal charismas, and both challenge us to dig beyond the surface of the language and metaphors used by their authors to more fully understand what it means for us to be a Christian community. In 1 John, we hear some of the most beautiful language that is found in Scripture, dealing with God and love. It's no coincidence that this is one of the passages that is suggested by the Book of Common Prayer for weddings. And while this lesson is entirely appropriate for such celebrations, trivializing it to a sappy, "God is love, and so we should love each other," entirely misses the point. For it's not about individual or even romantic love. It is a letter that is written to a community about why and how we should love as a community. The author, in fact, makes three assertions about God and love. The first is that love is from God. We love because God first loved us. The second is that because of God's love, Jesus came into this world, that we might live through him. And the third and final assertion is that God's love for us makes it possible for us to love one another. And in fact, we are so commanded. Those who love God must love their brothers and sisters. It is in that commandment that we find the interweaving of love, service, and community. Our love for God is revealed in our love for those around us, our brothers and sisters. It is through our love and service to each other that community is created and sustained. And it is the love of the community that most clearly embodies the love of God. That is not to say that we are not called to abide in God and in love as individuals, because we indeed are. But it's not all about us. And it's not up to us to each dig deep down and make happen what needs to happen. The fundamental fact is that together we are able to do much more than we are as individuals. That is what it means for us to be a Christian community. One example of this is the wonderful tradition within this parish of bringing meals to those who are grieving, those who are ill, or those who are celebrating but exhausted by the addition of a new member to their family. As one who was recently the beneficiary of said meals, I can attest to the love that is created, given, and received in the various pots and dishes brought to people's homes, and to the fact that we need a parish cookbook. But it would be not, all for naught, if 10 people showed up on someone's doorstep on the same night. What makes our meals more than individual epicurean feats is that we turn to different people within our community to step up as leaders among us and coordinate the community's acts of love and service. When wrapped in intentionality, this becomes a part of who we are as a community. The sharing of food then becomes a communal act of love, a Eucharist with a small e, but still sacramental, because God is fully present as a result of our love for our brothers and our sisters. This is what it means for us to be Christians in community. It is our communal love and service together that forwards God's mission of justice, compassion, and reconciliation in a broken world. Whether that be through taking meals to those who need support, or serving a hot meal to those who are hungry, whether through pooling our resources to purchase 1,000 malaria nets, or whether by gathering each week to celebrate and proclaim the expansive love of God for all people. This understanding of community is even more fully proclaimed in today's gospel passage about the vine and the vine grower. Many of you are probably familiar with the images that the Apostle Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in which each of us are given different spiritual gifts. Some are given wisdom, some are faith, some are knowledge, yada, yada. And in which he also likens the church to a body with different parts, each part playing a distinctive role. In contrast, John's gospel gives us the image of the vine and speaks in terms of the branches that bear fruit. If you've ever looked at a vine, and I'm guessing many of you have, as we are situated so closely to wine country, you will have noticed that the branches are almost completely indistinguishable from one another. It's impossible to determine where one branch stops and another begins. All runs together as they grow out of the central vine, and every branch on the vine bears the same fruit. It's not only intricate, it is intimate. What this image suggests for us as individuals is that rather than the individual gifts and talents that Paul celebrates, as a part of the vine, we lack any and all distinctions. We each have only one thing to do, to bear fruit, which this gospel author understands to be works of love. Works of love can certainly originate with individuals, but when we stay there, we then run the risk of congratulating ourselves on the wonderful gourmet meal we have prepared with love for our brothers and sisters, instead of focusing on the people being fed. What this image suggests for us in relation to community is that there are no freestanding individuals, only branches who encircle each other completely and that derive their sustenance from the central vine, from Jesus. This is a challenge for us. It flies in the face of our Western inclination to claim our individuality and the more comfortable theology of Paul, which holds together the oneness of Christ, the diversity of gifts and members, but in one body. It confronts the Lone Ranger mentality that many of us operate out of and calls on us to examine just how it is we serve in community. What do I mean by this? This is what I mean. In every community, including ours, there are Lone Rangers and people who act out of a Lone Ranger mentality. It's the, I can do it all myself. Nobody can do it just like me, which really means nobody can do it as good as I can or as well as I can, and no one else will step up, so I'll just do it. Sometimes Lone Rangers are actively destructive in communities, but more often than not, they're benevolent and operate out of love. And so a particular ministry becomes the ministry of one person year after year. The community accepts that as their thing, and life goes on. And the problems only arise when that one person either no longer can or no longer wants to continue that ministry. Because that ministry has become privatized, there's no community in place to keep it going. What was born out of love for community has actually served to diminish community. I believe that is why the image of the vines is important for us as a community today. The well-being of the whole is dependent upon the well-being of all of the branches. As we deepen our faith as individuals, we must also work to examine and deepen our understanding of our community. One way that you can do just that is to participate in one of the upcoming focus groups that will continue to the mutual ministry cycle. These focus groups will offer a time for the community to look back at the past year and to look forward to the next. What better time to ask ourselves, where is it in our life together that we abide in love as a community? And where are the opportunities to grow that love more fully? God is love can be trite, and the vine metaphor can get lost as just another of Jesus' symbolic speeches. And while that Pauline theology about individual gifts is certainly valid and much easier, there is real power in understanding ourselves as part of an organic whole whose primary work is to bear the fruit of God's love. How we continue to live into that model of Christian community will take shape over time. But it begins with people serving a hot meal today, taking a meal to a neighbor tomorrow, exploring new ministries at our upcoming ministry fair on May 31st, and by abiding in the love of God this day and always. Amen.